affected and involved in all of those areas. But today I really want we sang he holds all power in his hands. Till he sings the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Y'all remember that little song? You and me, little tiny babies. We say that, we sing that, but I'm not sure that we understand what that signifies. It actually, when you say he's got the whole world in his hands, you are talking about the providence of God. The providence of God. Now that's a word that used to be used more frequently than it is now. Most young folks probably don't see the word providence unless they're talking about a seaport in Rhode Island that happens to be the capital. They don't use the word providence, but they're starting back to school shortly, and in the very first published textbook of America, it was called the New England Primer. It was published in 1690. It was used up in Boston and all of that area. It was that point in time, of course, in Scotland, they were teaching children to read because they believed that it was the trick of Satan to keep kids from being able to read the Bible, because they had been printing the Bible since the translation from Latin to English and Wycliffe and others. And so there was a movement that we should educate our children. And so when you look historically, all institutions of higher learning and schools were focused on the education of an individual into the paths or truths of God. That was, in fact, Harvard and all of the Ivy League, all of those were religious schools. And when you study history, in fact, Denison in our community was a religiously founded school. There was that sense of religion was the driver for educating people. So when people say, you're religious, you're ignorant, let me tell you, there would be no institutions of higher learning. There would be no public school. It was started in Scotland for one purpose, was so that kids could read the Bible. And so when you think about that, look how far we've come in 300 years or 400 years. You know, we later take God out of the school. No praying, no, you know, we don't want that. And yet there wouldn't be schools at all. If people weren't trying to get them to learn to read so they could read the Bible. But in this primer, and you can buy a reproduction of it online. Just look up New England Primer. It's I downloaded it. I was going to order one, and I know that's a. I've been banned from buying more books. Those of you who helped move us here 14 years ago, I know why. Those of you who helped move me to where we are now, you really know why. Because that sickness got worse after the 14 years I was here. So I got it electronically anyway. And this textbook says, question 11, it has 107 questions. And question 11 says this: what are God's works of providence? And they're supposed to, all students were supposed to know this. The first part of the book talks about how to write letters and do different things, but this was their textbook for school. And it said, what are God's works of providence? At number 11, Adam 107, it goes through the Lord's Prayer, goes through all kinds of things. And this was very high on the list of importance, was for students to learn about God's providence. And that answer was there. God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful. Probably that could have been worded a little better, but it means, and then it goes on to say, preserving and governing all his creatures and their actions. That's a powerful definition. It's a great, great definition. Notice certain key words in that definition. It talks about preserving and governing all his creatures and their actions. It's his wise, holy, and powerful works that preserve and govern all of his creatures and their action. Actually, in the Oxford Dictionary, and you can look up the word providence in the Merriam Dictionary and the Oxford Dictionary, it says, the Oxford Dictionary, the protective care of God. If you look and you break it down in its Latin, pro has to do with before. It means to, you know, when we think of provision, it is before. And so how do you have provision? Well, it doesn't mean that you see before, in other words, but yet it really does, because you saw that you might need something, so you got together things to knowing that one time you may need that. So provision in the Latin would be something that would mean to provide for before it happens. And that providence is a derivative of that same word. It's the providence or the provision of God. It's seeing before and yet making a way. Now, I understand that we could stop right there and talk about all of that, because what it says is that God is keeping us safe, is guarding, is protecting, is keeping us safe from harm. My wife made the statement when she said, I didn't know if I would make it to the plane or if they would allow me to board, because they have a rule. If you're not there 15 minutes ahead of time, you will not be allowed to board, because supposedly they board ahead of that. And she wasn't there 15 minutes ahead of time for them to shut the door. She made it just sort of within maybe a minute before they shut the door. And she said, but all I did was ran, walked fast as I could from A to D, not knowing whether or not I would get on, but trusting that God was able, if I would do my part, God was able to somehow make a way. And so when you think of that word providence, you are thinking of in that frame of mind. And that means, and Paul talked about it, it's not necessarily a word found in the Bible except in the Amplified version. But in the King James, he said it in Proverbs, Philippians, the second chapter, and the 13th and 14th verse says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So when you read that in the Amplified, it says, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for His pleasure, good pleasure. Do everything without murmuring or questioning the providence of God. But notice how he said, he said, it's God in you that's doing this. Now you think, well, I'm going to decide whether or not I'm going to live for God. Let me tell you, you don't have the strength to live for God if it were not God helping you. You don't have, you can say, well, I'm going to show you this morning about the providence of God and how that in fact God sort of upholds everything, the world, with his hand. In the Old Testament, Proverbs the 16th chapter and the 9th verse says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In the Amplified, it says, a man's mind plans his way as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. So what does that mean? That means that it doesn't matter whether you are trying to serve God or not, or trying to live for God or not. If the Lord needs you to do something or be something or have something, His will be performed. Throughout the entire Old Testament, he would talk about using Nebuchadnezzar, who was a wicked, unsaved king, to come and execute his judgment or his will. He would talk about setting up kings, taking down kings. He would talk about establishing thrones and dominions. What are you saying? I am saying that you've heard me say a long time, and that is that there's nothing that catches God off guard when God says, oh my Lord, I didn't see that coming. What am I going to do now? No, he's got the whole world in his hand. He knows everything that's going to happen. Don't ever think that God's out of control. Now, I know it may seem chaotic to us, and it may seem like it's overwhelming in our mind, but God's not out of control. The Psalms 71st chapter says, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. He said, by thee, by God, I have been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. In the 138th Psalm, the Lord will accomplish or perfect. In the King James, it uses the word perfect instead of, in the Amplified, it says accomplish. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He will accomplish that which concerns me. Your unwavering loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Jeremiah echoed this in his writings in the first chapter. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What are you saying? Are you saying that there is no free choice? No. I'm saying there is free choice. Are you saying there is no free will? No. I'm saying there is free will. But what I am telling you, God has a plan for everyone, and He knows just what we have. Don't let the devil tell you that I'm a mistake. I was unwanted. That nobody wanted me. That's the biggest lie. God's providence. He knew exactly when you were formed. He knew exactly how you were formed, and He is able to use you just the way you are if you will turn to Him. I've talked to individuals that have said, well, you don't understand. I was the unwanted. I was not. I want to tell you something. It is no accident. You can't, when you think in terms of just astronomically the chance that you would be born who you are. I mean, one in about 400,000 chance that this particular gene and DNA would match up with the lady. And yet, if that would have been a different month, if he would have married somebody different, if they would have been different, I mean, trace it back. How amazing it is that God would know exactly what he's doing, and in the providence of God would be able to say, I know who you are. I, as I said, no free will or choice? No, that's not true. You say, well, did God ordain all sickness and disease and death? And I know I've had people that have said to me, are you saying that this sickness is from God, or this is from God, or this death, or this? No, you're misunderstanding the word providence and what it means. You remember the definition was that it is most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and their action. In fact, if you really want to understand disease, you realize that God made a world that didn't have disease. And if you really want to understand where he's taking us to heaven, he's not having any disease. If you want to understand death, he never created death. Sin brought death into the picture. The wages of sin is death. And the Bible says when we get to heaven, there won't be any more sorrow or mourning or tears, because all of that's wiped away. That's the providence of Almighty God. That's the care of Almighty God. And yet, I understand. You say, well, did God want me? And I've heard people mistakenly talk about providence, and they said, well, God understands you're with somebody abusive, or you're with in a bad situation, and so he wants you to stay there. That's not what providence means. The providence means that he is able to take care of you, and then able to give you wisdom enough to know, I need to not be in this situation, and provide somebody to help you get out of it. As a matter of fact, whenever people have tried to tell me, well, I think the Lord wants me in this bad situation, or I've said, well, that's crazy, because Jesus himself said in Matthew, who shall ever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? He said, if you so much as offend them, it'd be better for you to just tie a big rock around your neck and be thrown out into the sea. That's pretty radical. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. In other words, don't let the devil tell you that God doesn't know where you are. God doesn't see. And I've had individuals ask me, where was God when I was going through? Where was God? I'll tell you where he was. He was hanging on a cross, so shedding his blood so that you could be washed, you could be forgiven, you could be transformed, that you did not have to live under the bondage of that abuse, and you could be set free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That's the providence of God. I know at times, you know, individuals may have, you know, you may look and you say, well, Joseph, you know, look, Joseph's brother sold him in this. I don't believe that Joseph's brothers had to do what they did in order for God to fulfill his promise and dream to Joseph. I believe they did bad, but God used it. I believe Potiphar's wife did wrong, but God used it. I believe the butler or the cupbearer did wrong, but God used it. And yet, what did Joseph say after the brothers came and repented and there was all of the crying? And Joseph looked at him and said, God sent me before you to preserve you. He was talking about the providence to preserve you, a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. What are you saying? I'm saying that Joseph recognized that God did not do this. As a matter of fact, Joseph understood it wasn't God's fault. That's why he quizzed them. That's why he gave more to Benjamin. He was trying to figure out if they had changed, but he still somehow knew that God was able to take all of this together and make his will come to pass. That's called the providence of Almighty God. Read it, if you will, in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, and it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his persons, upholding all things by the word of his power. In other words, upholding, that word there means he is able to bear, he is able to carry, he is able, there is nothing that is going to weigh God down. He's got the whole world. Don't you think he can carry you through every problem? He can carry you through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to somehow recognize that I trust the providence of God. Job told, and whenever he was praying, he said, God holds everyone in his hands. He said, the righteous and the wicked, it doesn't matter. In fact, he said, some of the wicked die full of milk, or they die fat. Some of the wicked die in bitterness of soul. But don't think for a moment that God's out of control. Say, well, I don't know why God. I don't know why either. But that's the providence of God. It's his wisdom, which is far above our wisdom. As a matter of fact, Acts, the 17th chapter, they said it like this. For in him we live and move and have our being. Paul was preaching to the people in Athens. He said, in him we live and move and have our being. In Colossians, he said it like this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Why are you telling us all this, Pastor? Because I'm telling us that we've got to come into his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the valley I'm in. You don't know the accident that happened on Friday night. You don't know what trouble. But let me tell you, somehow, I still believe that God's got everything in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. I trust him. Whether there are dominions or powers or principalities, they're not greater than the power of Almighty God. You say, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. It just seems like I'm battling the very presence of the devil himself. Let me tell you something. The devil is no match for God's providence. Amen. Oh, but the enemy's trying to do this and the enemy. But you know what? I still believe in the providence of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to go on here. I'm going to just show you some things in the Bible. Some of y'all probably already knew this, but in Proverbs, it says you can't even roll dice and that not being the providence of God. Amen. Who would have thought? Proverbs 17:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof. So every game I lose, every aggravation and Yahtzee, it was God's fault. That's what the enemy wants us to do, is to say it's God's fault.
Right.
It's not God's fault. It's God's wisdom and holiness and power that he is upholding us. There is nothing that just falls our lot. Well, it's just chance that they kept the airplane door open. It wasn't chance. It wasn't anything other than the providence of Almighty God. Every time I look at my life, I can't go, well, it's just luck. It's just happenstance. It's not. It is God who's got the whole world in his hands. He's got everything in his hands. As a matter of fact, I was mentioning about death, and you read it in Matthew, and you read it in Luke, and it said that if there is two sparrows that are bought for a farthing, and one of them dies, God sees the one that fell. Luke took it a step further and understood it. And he said, if two sparrows are sold for one farthing and you get five sparrows for two farthings, he said, that extra sparrow, that free sparrow, if it falls, God knows exactly about the free sparrow. You tell me God didn't know what's going on? Say, well, my eyesight's failing. My hearing's failing. You know what? Moses tried that when God spoke to him in the burning bush. And the bush said, you know, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. I need you to go to Egypt. And you know, remember what Moses said? I am slow of speech and I can't go. And you know what? The word of the Lord came back. The first thing he did was address this providence issue. He said, let me tell you, then the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who makes him dumb, not able to talk, or who makes him deaf, or who makes him seeing, or who makes him blind? Not have I the Lord. Now what you read is, when you read that in the English, it sounds like God caused the blindness or the deafness. No, what he was saying is, I am in control. If I need to open your mouth, I can open your mouth. If I need to restore your sight, I can restore you. If I need to restore your healing, I can. What are you saying? I'm telling you, that's how powerful God is. It's his providence. And I'm here today. You say, I begin to look at this, the more I begin to realize this is kind of amazing. In fact, as a matter of fact, when you look here, it says, life and death, even financial loss or success. Say, all I want to do is make a lot of money. Let me tell you something. Ignore God, try to box with God. God's providence. 1 Samuel, the second chapter. This was Hannah's prayer. She had submitted, she wanted a child, remember? She kept coming in praying. She kept wanting God to give her a child. And here's how she began to praise God. This is why I said, when you praise God, you start praising him for his providence. You start praising God for what he's done. Hannah said, the Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and the Lord makes rich. He bringeth the low and he lifts up. He raises the poor out of the dust, lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. And I know what the devil tries to do is to make that sound like God is just arbitrarily being mean to people and there's nothing you can do about it. That's not what the providence means. What a providence means is that we have a God who is able to change your life and turn it around in a moment, in an instant. God is not up there trying to say, I want to do what I can to punch buttons to make people, serve me. And that's you've got a warped devil's idea of what God is. Like God's trying to keep something good from us. The Bible is very clear about that. As high as the heavens are above the earth, God, his thoughts are above ours. He said it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's the kindness of God. Don't ever look at your life and believe that God's not on your side. He went to Calvary for you. That's the biggest lie that the devil could ever perpetrate in our minds. But the providence of God says, I'm able to change it in a moment. I can take and give a new idea to someone, and I can turn their life around. You say, well, I can't be turned around. Mine's too far gone. I want to tell you something. Even kings and leaders, yeah. You know, no matter what the king or leader is, Proverbs 21 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. He goes on to say, suffering. Now, and the thing about it is, Simon was very clear about that. Sorry. He was very clear. You read that whole section of verses from 1 Peter 4, 13 through 19. He said, now, if you suffer as an evildoer, or you suffer as a thief, or you suffer as a murderer, or you suffer as a busybody. He said, God's not. You may pay the consequences of what you did. That wasn't necessarily what God wanted for you. Right. He wants nothing but good for all of us. Yeah. We have to trust that. He said, let him that suffers according to the will of God commit the keeping of his souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. What are you saying? You say, I am suffering not as a busybody, not, and you go on through here. I got just a couple more slides. I know the kids are at the door. They're ready to come in. Even repentance, whether it's faith, I'll come back to these. Let me go here. Even I want to tell you something. Even the very crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Pilate didn't crucify him. The Jews didn't crucify him. Herod didn't see that Jesus was crucified. As a matter of fact, they preached the sermon, says, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the Jews, the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. What are you saying? We're not going to pray for the kids? Yeah, we are. We're going to ask for God's providence. Yes. Yes. His protection. Yes. You say, well, what if one of them gets sick? Well, we're just going to say, Lord, we're trusting the providence of Almighty God. Yes. You're able to scoop them up in your hand. Bear them on eagle's wings. Let's stand. I think they're at the door. They're going to come in. I'll try to finish this tonight. The more...